Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
Across the gunners and the shot, he scores! The Blues win it in overtime! Boo! Bring out the Zamboni!
I'm gonna kill myself!
I think the Bruins, you know, are probably better.
Thank you for the kind words.
Dale Arnold.
Waving the banner, the head coach of the six-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots, Bill Belichick.
Don't do banners, just try to coach the team.
Rich Keefe.
Everybody from Cleveland is driving in runs. Even Willie Mays Hayes.
Dale and Keefe.
Nothing says party like a FD Harry guy.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Well, the night started kind of cool. I mean, Bill Belichick in his pleather jacket.
Great start. Looked great.
Oh.
Waving the banner. Supernatural. Got everybody all kinds of fired up.
Place was.
That was the guy.
Juiced.
You knew that was the guy. Well, it was he or Brady that would get the place as fired up as possible. Didn't think it was going to happen. But there he is. Bill Belichick. They are now 0-1 in Bill Belichick banner games.
Really?
We've
got to keep stats on
this
now.
How is that possible?
Man.
They won 8 in a row going into last night. You were feeling pretty good. I was feeling great about last night. I would like to apologize to the St. Louis Blues.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I said
it was going to be a sweep. I even had the little broom out and everything. I thought it was going to be a sweep, just like Carolina, back-to-back sweeps. And the Bruins lost. The Blues did not win that game, Dale. The Bruins lost that game.
Yeah, look, I thought that they were going to lose a game in this series. I didn't think it was going to be. I didn't think it was going to be at home.
Yeah,
I thought
true.
What was going to happen was that they were going to win the two at home. They were going to split in St. Louis and come back and win on home ice in game five. They may still win in five games, but based on what you saw last night, that probably feels less likely than it did going into it.
I thought they were going to, if they
By
were
the way,
lose,
the Blues are a much better road team in the playoffs than they are home team.
Yeah, they've been very good there. I thought if they were going to lose at home, and again, I didn't think they would, it would have been game one. Maybe they get out to a real sluggish first period and they're chasing the game and maybe they can't come back from a two-goal deficit, which is what they were able to do in game one. So I thought, all right, now they get their legs back. They're kind of used to playing. You know, it's every other night now, although there's two nights off in between games two and three, but you're just back into the flow. And then even when they take a 1-0 lead, they score on the power play. You're like, all right, they got this thing figured out. Here we go. Bruins are going to take it and run it from here. And then just kind of fell apart. Second, third period, like that did not look like the Bruins team that we were used to seeing.
The thing that sticks out most to me as I watched both of these first two games is you're getting nothing from what I think is the best line in hockey.
Yeah, they're not playing like they are.
Marchand, Bergeron, and Pasternak were, in my opinion, the best line in the NHL in the regular season. They've been really good in the playoffs up until this series, and they've given you nothing. In fact, I think they're a combined -7.
Yeah, and that's even benefited because of the empty netter in game one.
Yep.
It should be even worse than that.
It is not a good sign if these guys don't get untracked. I actually thought, look, occasionally they have bad nights. It happens. Doesn't happen a lot for them, but they have bad games, and they almost always respond positively. Billy Jaffe and I were talking about this on the pregame show on Nesson. Both of us expected a big performance from the top line in last night's game. Billy said, I wouldn't be surprised if they score two or three goals, just based on history for them.
Yeah.
They did nothing.
No, they did nothing.
Did they do nothing offensively.
No, they gave it away.
They were hurting
they
you
hurt
defensively,
you.
And that just doesn't happen with a Patrice Bergeron line at all.
No, those guys were real bad, and you're saying, you know, that was one thing that couldn't last the entire series and still win. They got away with it in game one. We talked about the depth again. We're like, oh, thank God for the fourth line. Thank God for the defenseman's ability to
Which
score.
Which is a
like,
great story, but ultimately,
but that's not how you're
your
win.
Stars have to help you win.
Those guys are definitely going to have to do it, and that's what was frustrating to see is there was no bounce back, and you could make a case it was even worse than in game one, which is not at all what you were expecting from those guys. So part of it is St. Louis may have something going on for them, but a lot of it was just whether it was missing assignments or just dumb kind of turnovers. Like, those guys looked like a mess. They were the worst line for the Bruins last night.
And that's a really bad sign.
Yes.
If that doesn't... Now, look, I didn't think it was going to extend to two straight games, so I certainly don't think it's going to extend to three straight games. I don't want to take credit away from St. Louis, but I also want to put blame where it belongs. And it really does fall on the shoulders of these three guys for a lot of what you're seeing. Too much of this, you know, let's make the extra pass. Let's not put the puck on net.
Very cute.
Yeah, let's, and when they've had troubles during the season, not that it happens a lot, it's because they get too cute. Marchand especially is guilty of getting too cute at times. Pasternak gets too cute at times with the puck. The Blues were making the Bruins pay for that last
night. Roles were reversed from game one. You know, the Bruins only finished the night with 23 shots. This is a game that goes into overtime. This is a game
where...
And
you had five power plays.
Five power plays.
And you only had 23 shots.
The wild stat, the most wild stat of the night is they had as many power play shots, I believe it was only three, as St. Louis had shorthanded shots.
Yeah.
That can't happen. Like, that's ridiculous. And the power play has been very good. Again, going into the series, the number one power play
it's
in the postseason.
It's still the number one power play.
It still is. It had a ways to drop down. The first series, it was such a weapon against Toronto. Against Carolina, it was fantastic. Against Columbus, the Blue Jackets did a much better job at killing it off. But you thought, all right, you had five chances in the first game, and he only scored once, and he said, all right, well, maybe now you've gotten a look at what they do, and maybe you're going to have a better way of, you know, attacking it. This game, they score right away. They score, what, 4 or 5 minutes into the game, Charlie Coyle, and you're thinking, here we go. They're going to – something clicked here on the power play. Nope, not the case. And St. Louis is a team which surprisingly doesn't get penalized that much in the playoffs, because watching them play, it's like, how did they not – they're flying around. They have some stupid penalties that they take, like either away from the puck.
Undisciplined at times.
It is. But they're getting away with it because their penalty kill is either the combination of their penalty kill has been good or the Bruins' power play has just been sloppy.
They ran Tukarask twice last night. They got called both times, goaltender interference both times. Right. But I asked this question of Barry and Billy and Brick on the postgame show last night on Nesson. At some point, if you're the Bruins, don't you have to run into Bennington?
Bennington, yes.
Don't you have to, in effect, say, hey,
and I,
cut the crap.
I have just the guy to do it. David Backes. Bennington elbowed him in the face in game one. Maybe Backes gets a little close to the net, and oh my God, it's so slippery out here, I just took out the goalie. And even if you have to take a penalty kill or whatever, I think they can afford to do that at times, just to send the message a little bit. We were wondering after the Torrey Krug hit in game one, how physical was St. Louis going to be? Were they going to go out of their way? And they really did it. Like, we saw Carolina do that, where they're not even playing
took
the puck.
They're out just of the play.
They got inside their own heads, and they thought if they just had the biggest hit, they were going to win. St. Louis didn't do that, but they still had some big hits. They were playing pretty physical. But I do say, I still think it's certainly not the end of the world. And part of it is the Bruins played so poorly, and yet they had a bunch of chances late third period, and they went to overtime.
Oh, the Pasternak chance with like 45 seconds left.
Come on.
I mean, I feel like he buries that, you know, 9 times out of 10.
Right. And that would have been one where
and
you
how
say,
is he that wide open
in
that situation?
I don't know. And then you would have said, wow, they kind of got away with one.
Yeah.
You know,
you would have felt they stole one.
They would have stole one, but they were right there. And I just think that's the difference between, say, the St. Louis Blues and a truly elite team. If the Bruins played that way for 40 plus minutes, they lose by 2 or 3 goals in regulation, right? But Tuukka also kept them in it. Tuukka was making some great saves. That game could have been more out of hand. But then I don't think the Blues were able to capitalize on how poorly the Bruins were playing.
I mean, the overtime of the 4 minutes approximately that was played in overtime, I'm pretty sure the Blues had the puck in the Bruins' defensive end for 3.5 of it.
Oh, it was the whole time. And I think if you looked at the last, essentially, once you, a tie game third period, once you're under 5 minutes, it has that overtime feel anyway.
Right.
And the Bruins, I thought, controlled that, although there was a great chance where they beat Tuukka and they hit the post. So St. Louis had a golden opportunity, but the Bruins had more of them. They had more chances, weren't able to break through, and then, yeah, the overtime just did not last very long. And you get the 2 minutes leading up to it, you just got the sense, all right, this is only a matter of time until they break through and win it. Yeah, for sure.
Bruce Cassidy has not been afraid to make moves. He's done it all season long. He did it again last night. He broke up the top line for a while. Second period especially, he switched Backes and Pasternak, flipped the right wings on the top two lines. I mean, truthfully, we're being critical of the first line to start here and should be. Second line didn't really give him anything either.
Well, second line quietly stinks. And all playoff long, they don't generate a lot of scoring. And now they don't give up a lot of scoring either. They just kind of go through. Like, how many days after the games have we talked about, wow, fourth line was great? Or how about the acquisitions of Coyle and Johansson? Or either it was a great night for the first line or a bad night for the first line. Or look at their defensemen are scoring. Or look at Tuukka. The most under-talked about group has been Krejci, DeBrusque, and Backes. We've hardly talked about them at all.
I had DeBrusque as one of my 10 reasons why I thought the Bruins were going to win this series.
Yeah, he's been
because
quiet.
I thought that he was going to break out of it, take advantage of some opportunities. You know, he's playing on a line with a great playoff performer. David Krejci is very good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got a ton of points, but DeBrusque at times just disappears out there.
Yeah, it's been pretty bad. If you look at now this also includes power play goals, but just the personnel, Bergeron, Marchand, Pastrnak in the postseason have 23 goals. Those three guys. Now, a lot of them are on the power play. We can get to that.
Sure.
But those three guys have 23 goals. I know it's been up and down. Krejci, DeBrusque, Backes, that trio has 9 goals. Johansson, Coyle, Heinen has 11. And then Achari, Corrali, I even threw Wagner in there with Nordstrom. They have 9. So the fourth line has as many goals as the second line. And I think part of that is...
And if you look at minutes played, quite often the fourth line is the second line.
Right. Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, those guys, I mean, you know, they start games and they have a lot of responsibility, but we're still calling them the fourth line. And part of that, you know, I don't think is Krejci's fault. I think the wingers have kind of let him down at times. Obviously, Backes is not the player that he once was, and even then, he was never this dominant goal scorer. So they've kind of gone through some funks, but you're relying a lot on your third and fourth line when the top line goes through a game like they did, and then the second line really has not been one that you can expect to be consistent at all.
They have had instances, even during this playoff run,
yeah,
where they haven't played well. And generally speaking, Cassidy and his staff do a good job of addressing what the issues are, resolving some of the problems. The narrative out there now is that the Blues are too big, too strong, and can run the Bruins out of the building. And I just don't believe that.
I don't think so either. I don't think that's the case. Now, they had some big hits, and we'll get to what happened to Matt Grzelcyk, but I don't think that all... they're a physical team. And everybody had said how
as Columbus was a big physical team.
So was Columbus. Carolina tried to. They really weren't, but they tried to. But it was St. Louis is sort of a lesser version of the Bruins, like in all aspects. Like they try to have the deep lines, but they're not as deep. They try to be that balance of speed and toughness, and they have it, but they're not as quick. I don't think they're as strong as the Bruins. Sure, they have some players that can go out there and make some big hits, but I don't think the Bruins are looking at them saying, oh my God, how are we possibly going to go into St. Louis and not get intimidated, not get pushed around? I can't imagine that's going through their head.
When they play Saturday night in St. Louis, game 3, what I'd like to see happen, hopefully within the first 30 seconds, is a Zdeno Chara, Riley Smith type play where you go and just...
Oh, Riley Nash.
Riley Nash. Where you just go drill a guy.
Yeah.
Legally, by the way, nothing wrong with that
sure.
hit.
Yeah.
But what the message you're sending, and I'm using Char as the example because he's already done it in this playoffs. Let it be Backes. Let it be Achari. I don't care who. Somebody's got to go initiate one of those big hits early on and say, we're not going to keep taking this crap.
Yeah, Backes did have a nice hit on, was it Blaze?
Yeah,
when he got elbowed
him right over by the bench there.
Just absolutely crushed him. So that was good to see. But yeah, they definitely need some kind of message to be sent kind of early on. You were talking about the lines before. I also think we're at the point where jumbling the lines up too much, I think we're past that.
Well, he went back to the normal lines in the third, but you know he's trying to get things going.
He is. But like the third and fourth line have both been so good. I just want to leave those guys alone. Like don't even
right. Yeah, I would not mess with.
But if it's Pastrnak and Backes, I guess. Plus Pastrnak is going to get double shifted at times anyway because you look at it, Backes isn't going to play every time Krejci's out there, right? Like you look at the
end
of the night.
Look at the minutes. He doesn't
at all. So I think that's maybe one tweak you could make. But overall, these guys have to figure it out. This is the lineup. This is the groupings. Like this is what you have to stick with. They're going to win you or lose you the next 3 games.
We told you that in the aftermath of the Western Conference Final, the San Jose Sharks basically accused the St. Louis Blues of being a dirty team, that they were intentionally going to take players out, and they did take players out. It's easy to look at the Sundquist hit last night on Matt Grizzlick and say, this might be what the San Jose Sharks were talking about.
Yeah, I would say
And by
so.
The way, I love there's an argument out there. I happen to think that it was a bad hit. I've heard people say, oh, come on, Grizzlick put himself in that position.
Well, it was a really weird kind of play because Grizzlick went into the boards awkwardly. Like, the way he was trying to stop. So even if you take Sunkist orange soda out of the play, yep, and you just have Grizzlick going in there, he kind of, his neck kind of moved around, right? It was like really kind of awkward. But either way, it was going to be a dirty hit. I feel like whether he kept his head low, it might have been even worse. His head kind of moved up a little bit.
And Sunquist elevated
yes,
to hit him in the head.
Yeah, I thought it was a bad hit. Now, I don't know if it's a suspendable hit. I don't know, but it was certainly more than 2 minutes.
In the same way, now, Charlie McAvoy got a 2-minute minor for a penalty earlier in the playoffs and got suspended for a game.
Yeah, true. I'm thinking Kadri got suspended for a bunch of games. Like, well, if you're comparing it to the Kadri, that was worse. Yeah.
And if Sundquist does draw a suspension here, I think it would be a one-game suspension.
The
reason I say that is, for me, looking at the play, he drove up, and the primary point of contact was the head. That's what they're trying to take out of the game.
Oh, yeah. And I just, if they're so worried about,
by the way,
results.
26 seconds ago.
Yeah.
NHL player safety has said St. Louis Oscar Sundquist will have a hearing today for boarding Boston's Matt Grizzlick.
Yeah, so he may very well get suspended,
I think he's going to lose a game.
Because they also, and I don't love this, but they really do kind of take into account injury, like, or what happens to their player. Like, if Grizzlick, the exact same hit happens to Grizzlick, and
right,
he pops up and plays the rest of the game, he probably doesn't get suspended. But the fact that Grizzlick was out for that game, and I don't love his chances for too many more games. We don't know yet, but I don't love his chances
for Saturday,
no,
that's for sure. Not what I saw as he was being helped off the ice.
Don't you think the league kind of takes that into account, and they might say, well, they're losing Grizzlick, so you're going to lose a game?
They probably shouldn't, but they do.
I think they kind of do.
I agree with you that
they shouldn't. It
shouldn't be what the result was.
Right.
What was the play? The play was this. Well, NHL player safety has looked at it, and they look at it, you know, 100 different ways. They've decided, no, you're going to get a hearing. Now, I'll tell you this. It almost never happens that after a hearing, they say, no, we're good. No.
Yeah, right.
When they have a hearing,
something's going on.
You get
there.
Suspended.
Yeah, I think so.
And I think, and I don't think this is going to be some lengthy deal. I think he's going to get a game.
Yeah, probably game three. And that's it.
And I thought he should get a game based on what we saw last night. And we broke down the play 18 different ways on the postgame show on Nesson.
Yeah.
He leaves his feet. He elevates. Principal point of contact was the head. It's like check, 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 check.
Yeah, that's true. Well, when you watched it, or when I watched it the first time, just live, I thought Grizzlick kind of, because he went into the boards kind of awkwardly on his own, that it wasn't Sunquist's fault. But then when you watch the replay again and again, you say, well, you know what? No matter where Grizzlick's head was, whether it kind of snapped up in the air or not, it was going to be a dirty hit. It was going to be a penalty. It probably should have been more than 2 minutes. And, yeah, they're trying to eliminate head hits. And if you're going to be consistent and you're going to look at the McAvoy play, then, yeah, Sunquist should probably sit.
If I look at the Sunquist hit, and I look at, and I'm, this is my words, not the NHL's words. They ran the goaltender on two different occasions.
Mm-hmm.
They got minor penalties for both times. Mm-hmm. They ran Tuukka Rask twice.
Yeah.
You go back to what the San Jose Sharks were saying after
they're
the Western Conference Final, and you're saying,
yeah,
you know what? They might not be that far off.
Yeah. But then you gotta give them a taste of their own medicine. That's what you gotta do. I'm not saying, like, you know, cut the guy with your skate, but you gotta go back at him.
And even more importantly than that, and I've already suggested, maybe somebody needs to jostle Binnington here at some point and send the message, cut the crap at the other end of the ice. But more importantly than that, and this is where the Bruins failed miserably last night, make those penalties pay.
I know.
Make them pay. Score on the power play when Grizzlick takes the hit. Score on the power plays when Tuukka Rask gets run. Just make them pay there, and then they're thinking, you know what, maybe we got to stop doing this crap.
They are 2 for 10 on the power play. They came in, I believe they were
34%.
34%. So, I mean, at the very least, they needed another goal, and that could have been that would have been the difference last night. You know, if they break through with one more goal, not that they would have played a great game by any means, but at this point, if you can just find a way to steal a win any way you can, that's all that matters.
If you agree that the Bruins are the more skilled roster. And 100%. I think
still
they
are. Yes.
This may be an intelligent assessment by Craig Berube. Look, they're more skilled than we are.
Take them out.
If we're going to beat them, this is how we're going to have to beat them.
Well, not only that, but how much of a challenge is it to play two full periods and a few minutes into an overtime with five defensemen? You know, and one of your defensemen is 42 years old. One of them, you know, Connor, you know, Clifton, you don't want to play a ton necessarily. So not only just not having Grizzly, who's been a good player for him, not only not having him out there, but now you're going with a five-man rotation defensively. That's tough to overcome, too.
I'll be curious to see how the Bruins respond. They have been pretty good at responding. Physically, they've responded. You know, when Columbus was trying to run them out of the building, they responded. When Carolina tried to do it early on, they responded. Bruins didn't respond last night. You know, they tried. There was little things. Backus had the hit on Blaze. There were, you know, here and there.
Yeah, but that was more like not even... That was just because Blaze was sort of near Backus, and Backus threw the elbow up, and the guy went down like he got, you know, shot with a gun. But, like, that was a good hit, but it wasn't... I don't know if it was, like, a momentum kind of swinging hit. Like, it was one of the better ones that the Bruins had. But if you're putting it on, like, the Torrey Krug scale, like, it was nowhere near that.
Now, there are folks in St. Louis who have already begun the drumbeat here. Come on, you're going to complain about the Sundqvist hit when you saw Torrey Krug take a 150-foot run and knock Robert Thomas out of the game?
That was, the Krug hit was actually as clean as it can get.
No penalty called.
No penalty.
And most people who have analyzed that have said, there shouldn't have been a penalty.
Yeah, even if you take Bruins fans and Blues fans out of it, and you have everybody else take a look at it.
Well, that's what you're hearing from St. Louis
well,
now.
Of course you are.
Come on, how can you complain about this? Did you see what Torrey Krug did?
No, I mean, right. I mean, that's, give me a break. That one's just so different. So, yeah, Sundqvist could certainly miss a game, but unfortunately, I bet Matt Grizzlick ends up missing a few games. That'd be my guess.
I'm not a doctor, nor do I play one on the radio. I would bet Grizzlick will miss more time
than
Sundqvist.
When a hockey player is on the ice for that long, it's never a good sign.
And when the coach after the game says he was taken to the hospital, he hasn't come back yet.
Not good.
That's probably not a good sign. Now, this means, I know Bruce kind of left it open-ended last night. I think it'll mean John Moore draws back in just because he's a left shot. Mm-hmm. Steven Kampfer is a right shot. You can slide Moore right into the left shot defense side a little more easily. But they may look at it and say, you know, we're going to ask somebody to play on their offside because we think Kampfer will give us more against this team, however they decide. But one of those two guys will be playing Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely – and it's a drop-off for sure. You know, it's not like you're losing McAvoy or Carlo, but Grizzlick's had a good playoff run, and he's been pretty reliable for him. And so that's definitely going to be a loss.
Here's the deal for today. PJ Stock's going to join us at 11:30.
They need PJ Stock out there flying around, taking guys' heads off. That's
just
what they need.
Wheeling it. Yeah. PJ's going to join us at 11:30. We'll dive right into the calls with you guys. Look, I never thought this was a sweep. I still don't. You know,
I was wrong. Thanks, Bruins.
Well,
I blame them.
I said Bruins in five.
Still on the table.
Well, it's on the table, but it looks less likely. Well, I thought they were going to win the two games at home. But we'll see. We'll get
Dale. It's just because you wanted the parade on a Saturday.
That's a good point by you, Rossi.
Plans,
Rossi's planning that. Mm-hmm. Probably less parade planning going on here right now than there was.
No, I'm nervous. I'll be honest. I'm shaking.
I just hope it doesn't rain. That's really all. I'm still, the parade's still on.
They play indoors. Oh, the parade.
Thanks, Jason.
Great stuff.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll get your thoughts on what you saw last night. Oscar Sundqvist will have a hearing today with NHL player safety. In my opinion, he'll be suspended for a game for his hit on Matt Grizzlick in last night's game. But we'll talk to you as well. 617-779-7937. We've got a trend.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Bruins fall to the Blues in Game 2 as the quest for the Stanley Cup continues. Listen for continued coverage of the NHL Final right here. Now back to Dale and Keefe on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Bruce, do you have any update on Grizzlick, and what did you think of that hit?
No, he got he got hit from behind. I mean, that what was called. His head got driven into the glass, so he went to the hospital to get some tests. Never returned, obviously, so we're still waiting for an update.
Bruce Cassidy post-game last night talking about Matt Grizzlick, and again, Oscar Sundqvist has been scheduled for a hearing by the NHL Player Safety. He'll be suspended for a game.
Yeah, I think the more you look at it, I think he will. And they really do take into account the injury. You know, if Grizzlick popped up and kept playing, it might be a different story, but he certainly didn't. So, yeah, I would expect one game. I don't think you need to go crazy. You know, it's not like one of these Kadri who was basically suspended for the series. Remember, it was like, hey, you're suspended for 3 to 5 games, which is kind of odd that they did that. But
I've never heard of a 3 to 5 game suspension, but
that's what
they
had.
Came up with one.
Ended up being 5. And so, yeah, I don't think that'll be the case with Sundqvist, but a game, that seems likely.
A texter's already said, forget it, the Bruins are toast.
What do you mean they're toast? They're not toast.
The Bully Blues will run them out of St. Louis.
The Bully Blues. Jeez.
Well, it was a nice alliteration.
Yeah, I guess.
Nice to hear from somebody at Channel 7.
Yeah, it'll work. I mean, I just don't think that's going to be the difference. I think the Bruins played poorly, and a lot of it was self-inflicted, I thought, in the second and third period. And still, as bad as they played, a couple of those shots.
The game was there to be won.
They could have stole it right there at the end of the third period. They had a bunch of chances,
shot
especially
at the
Pasternak.
End. I mean, you're thinking, and maybe it wouldn't have been just. Maybe a win for the Bruins wouldn't have been, you know, a fair way to have the game end, but you'd take it.
Oh, you absolutely would take it. Just, you know, to take a 2-0 lead and, you know, go from there and say, you know what, even as poorly as the top line is played, as poorly as the power play is executed, to take a 2-0 lead, you don't care how you did it.
All right, so let's talk about the three
turds.
Not the stars.
No, no, three stars because in a win. Yeah. That's in a win, Dale. There was no win last night.
La troisième étoile, the turd star.
The turd.
Or in this case, yeah. The turd.
The turd.
So I'll let you go first.
All right, sorry.
Give me who your three.
So you might notice a theme here, but my number three turd of the game was Patrice Bergeron. Very quiet last night. Very quiet. Lost.
Beat in the faceoff circle a lot.
I was going to say, usually that's one thing you can always rely on. First of all, he lost more faceoffs than he won, which is rare. He was a minus player again. Really kind of a non-factor all night long. And that was really a surprise. So I have the turd is Patrice Bergeron. The second turd of the game.
You suck!
Thank you. I don't really know what that was.
The you suck chant.
Nope. Save that for another time when I'm not in. The second turd of the game, his line mate David Pastrnak. Now, I know he had one of the assists on the Charlie Coyle power play goal, but he had some moments where it reminded me of earlier in the playoffs where you're saying, oh no, is he okay? Like, what's going on with him? Plus, you had mentioned late in the third period, he had a chance. And he could have won the game for him. We've seen him score on that kind of play before throughout the season. He's usually a really good goal scorer. Didn't have it last night, so I have him as my second turd. The number one turd of the game, I think this would be unanimous across everybody's list, that'd be Brad Marchand. He was a minus one, he had a bunch of giveaways. He also, on that second goal, where was he going? This is how I would sum this up. If you've ever played NHL video games and you just take control of a player and you just go after the puck, like you're forget your positioning, forget
just
where
go.
You're supposed to be, switch to that guy and have him go right to the puck. That's what Marchand did, so he completely let him down there. And he, for the entire game, two shots for Marchand. You got to have more than that. There was also a time, kind of a breakaway type of situation, I don't know what he was doing, he was getting really cute with it. So that top line just was really a letdown, essentially from start to finish last night.
You ever seen the two turds alike?
Nope, I haven't. Well, they're all in the top line, though. But yes, those guys were really bad.
All right, I'll branch a little further afield than you. We may agree on some. We may disagree on others.
Yes, who do you got?
My turd of the game is Oscar Sundqvist.
3-turdy?
He is a turd.
He
is a turd. I'll give you that.
He'll get suspended for his dirty hit last night on Matt Grizzlick. That, you know, at least drove Matt Grizzlick out of last night's game. I'll be pleasantly surprised if it doesn't have him out for multiple games.
But a turd move, yes, but you take out one of their defensemen for more than two periods of hockey. They have to go to five defensemen for the rest of the game and could have been part of how they were able to end up winning.
Yep.
So, I mean, you're right. It's a turd move.
Look, Craig Berube's saying, I'll take that trade. Okay, Sundqvist won't be able to play for a game,
but a win's a win.
Not going to be able to play for most of that game and maybe one or two others.
Exactly.
Which is kind of what the San Jose Sharks were saying about this team.
Yeah, they may have been onto something. I thought they were just, you know, crying because they lost, but they might be onto something.
My second turd of the game is Jake DeBrusk.
Two turdy.
Good one.
Who just, again, has not given David Krejci anything.
No, he hasn't.
And I'm not saying the effort isn't there. I will say this, watching him, sitting in the arena watching him last night, and I hate doing this just because it's the classic excuse. He looks like there's something wrong. He's not skating well. He's not... His jump isn't there. Everybody's playing through stuff this time of year. I understand that. He got cranked in the first period and looked to be laboring a bit after that, but just didn't give him anything. And my first turd is the same as yours.
Yeah, top turd?
Twitter is an interesting area
I love it.
Of life.
Super positive.
It's very nice.
A lot of good feedback.
I heard the guys this morning talking about it with Matt Kalman and the guy from... was it SB Nation Radio in St. Louis? I heard him talking about it.
Yep.
It was amazing to me to see the reaction of the Wiggyites on Twitter last night in the aftermath of St. Louis's second goal.
Putting it on Chara
and
not Marchand?
Oh, the people who were blaming Zdeno Chara for that play.
I did notice that.
When, you know, I love Brad Marchand as much as anybody else does, but that was all him. That was all on him.
He was just so out of position and wasn't able to do anything with it. He gets beat. You put Char in a tough spot. You put Rask in an even tougher spot. Rask tried to, you know, make some saves and bail those guys out. That's another one where Tuukka actually had a pretty good game. Like, I know you see three goals on the board, but Tuukka was good. Like, there was a bunch of times where another goaltender...
He made the save on Tarasenko, and then, you know, the rebound. Tarasenko, who is a very good goal scorer.
He is, yeah.
He was falling down and is able to... bang it into the top corner.
But that could have been even uglier. That could have been certainly decided in regulation if it wasn't for Tuukka. He gave them some chances. Bruins found a way to, you know, just let it slip away there. And late in the third period, it seemed like they had the puck in St. Louis's end. They generated a few shots, but they weren't able to break through.
All right, so reiterate your tree turds.
It's the top line, Dale. I would go Bergeron, number three. I would go with David Pastrnak as number two. And then far and away, Brad Marchand, because not only is he not scoring goals for you, but he's also helping St. Louis score.
1-30, 2-30, 3-30.
Sort of like in game one, David Pastrnak. You're like, you can't just give them a goal. Like, don't do that. And if you are going to do
that's a bad thing.
You better make up for it on the other end with a couple of goals of your own, and they haven't been able to do that. You certainly can't write off the first line. Like, it wouldn't shock anybody if in game three they came out guns blazing and they were lighting it up.
It almost shocked me they didn't last night.
But you got to call it the way you see it, and after game two, they were terrible. They might have been, I think they were worse in game two than game one, and we talked about all day Tuesday about how, you know, the top line needs to be better.
And to reiterate my tree turds.
Yes.
We took them turds.
Oscar Sundqvist is number three, and he'll pay the price from the NHL today. Mm-hmm. Jake DeBrusk is number two, not giving the Bruins enough. And Brad Marchand, who not only did he have a tough game, and he's had a tough couple of games, this whole media thing that he's built up in his mind here.
What is his problem? Because it's sort of softened a little bit. Because you remember he had the issue with the guy from Canada, like the Rink reporter, and we played all that stuff before with him kind of... really short answers, even after wins, and you're like, all right, well, what's his problem? But he's kept it going.
Yeah, he has, and I'm not sure what he has to gain out of it. Look, he kind of sometimes manufactures things in his head to kind of get himself on an edge. When they went off the ice, was at the end of regulation. Somebody caught him. He's doing the crying motion to the St. Louis bench as he's going off the ice. I mean, he likes to get under your skin.
Fine. You know, I mean, that kind of thing. Like, if he wants to chirp with the Blues, I think that's been part of his game his entire career. So I'm good with that. But then if you play poorly and then you're blaming the media or you're saying the media is going to spin it out of control, like, okay, like, why are you even worried about that? Like, what do you care? Like, don't you just want to play better? Like, but... I don't know. If it helps him play better, great, but at least in these two games, it hasn't worked.
All right, let's get to the calls with you guys at 617-779-7937. Rob's up in Maine. Hey, Rob, how you doing?
Hey, boys.
What's up, Rob?
So, Dale, the Blues came into this series with the scuttlebutt and everybody basically being worried about them being a dirty team. That's correct, right?
That's yes. What San Jose said.
Yeah. Have you ever seen so many helmets come off?
I don't think Torrey Krug fits. That thing's always coming off.
Torrey Krug doesn't like his helmet.
It's like Bryce Harper flipping it off.
That may be, but I counted 9 in the first 2 games, Bruins, who had their helmets taken off. It seems to me that there's a difference between hard-hitting, you know, tough-edge hockey, and I'm going to make anybody that touches the puck pay and all that stuff. This seems like more of an attempt to injure. And I think that they've made a value judgment. Like last night, great. We got a 2-minute minor penalty, but guess what? The Bruins have 5 defensemen. Good for us. I'll trade you that every time.
Which is why the Bruins have to do a better job of making them pay.
Right. They have a few guys that can do it.
Yeah, make Sundqvist feel the pain of taking the minor penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Make the guys who ran Tuukka Rask feel the pain of, okay, you got to Tuukka Rask, you got to run Tuukka Rask, but there's a goal up on the board, and that's your fault.
Well, and that goes back to the Blues head coach, too, right? Berube and the way that he played and sort of saying, all right, guys.
They're a pretty good representation.
Yeah. Like, all right, this is how we're going to do it. This is how we're going to respond to game one. Go ahead, take big hits. And I don't know, again, I don't know if it's bounty gate. Like, I don't know if it's, hey, make sure you injure these guys. I don't know if it's that far, but it's definitely feel free to take some liberties. If you get some big hits, great. We'll kill off the penalty, but we're going to send a message.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. PJ Stock will join us at 11:30. We'll get his assessment of the first 2 games of this Stanley Cup final. Tonight, believe it or not, the NBA final also starts.
Oh,
finally.
Tips off.
Well, is that what they call it?
Dale, tips off at 9.
And it's sort of the same old in the NBA final. Mm-hmm. Sort of like it is in the NFL, actually.
Mm-hmm.
We'll compare and contrast when we come back.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon, now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Right back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
PJ Stock will join us at the bottom of the next hour as we'll continue to analyze what happened last night in Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final. The NBA... Stop me, Dale.
Go ahead.
Is it final or finals in the NBA?
Finals.
It is. There is an S in the NBA. Okay.
Hockey's the only one that does it
that
way.
And I don't know why they do, but they do. So the NBA finals.
That's right. Game 1 tonight.
Kickoff tonight.
Yeah, that's right.
The Golden State Warriors are in their 5th straight NBA finals.
They're back, baby.
They are, for lack of a better term, the New England Patriots of the NBA.
Yes.
Patriots are always one of those teams that's right there, or, you know, knocking on the door.
Yes.
Is that a good or a bad thing for the league in general? For their individual cities, it's great.
Oh, they love it for their cities. I think it's a good thing. I think it's great to have dynasty teams, and then you're trying to knock them off. Now, I'll admit, I would enjoy the Warriors' run a lot more if they didn't add Kevin Durant, because I think the games would have been a little bit closer, and it would have been just more impressive to watch Curry, Thompson, and Green, 3 guys that were drafted by that team, all win. I think that would have been more fun. The last 2 years, Durant was obviously there. He was the finals MVP. But he's out the last, 5 games or so for them, and they've won all of them. And they're still the favorite to win this series, even without him. I think it's good because you're looking – that's the team of this, you know, decade or era, whatever you want to say, and you're trying to knock them off. It's not a different team every year because I'm not one for parity. I like the best of the best and match those guys up. So I like it, whether it's the Patriots – and it's not just because I'm a Patriots fan, because I don't really like the Warriors, but I think it's good when you have these all-time teams playing in your league.
I have to separate what a local fan feels from the game in general, because, look, as a Patriots fan, I want them to go to the Super Bowl every year. I want them to win the Super Bowl every year. I mean, the more wins, the better, the greater – I think for the league in general, it's bad.
Really?
I think there's a certain, almost a resigned nature to fans. Oh, well, they're going to be there again. I mean, how many NBA fans right now, outside of Golden State and Toronto, everywhere else in the country, think that Golden State's not going to win the title?
No, I think everybody's picking Golden State.
I mean, everybody thinks this is a done deal. And by the way, we said that in October.
Yeah, but they also said that when they won 73 games in the regular season that they were going to win, and they didn't. You know,
it happens.
Right, it happens.
You know, the Patriots go 1-18 instead of 19-0. But for the most part, look, we'll start the NFL season saying, oh, yeah, the Patriots will be in an AFC championship game. They'll be in a position to go to a Super Bowl. In October, we said the Golden State Warriors will be playing for an NBA title.
Right.
But there's a certain fait accompli going on here.
So was Jordan's Bulls not good for the league, or was Bird and Magic not good for the league? Like, I think the upper echelon teams is what's good for the league, because we talk about this in hockey where it seems like it's really hard to be consistent, and every year you sort of got a different team in there. You know, you have an expansion team making to the cup final. To me, that's not as good as these established great teams. They just need better competition. Like, if Kyrie...
See, that's the problem, though.
Cleveland, well, the Eastern Conference was bad before.
If you're in the NBA right now, you're saying, we can't beat them.
They can't.
There's nothing we can do. There's
no.
And your fans feel that in every NBA city in America. Your front offices feel that. You know, we're going to give it our best, but you know what? We can't beat them.
But a couple years ago, I mean, not only did they lose to Cleveland, but then the next year they were, what, down 3-2 to the Oklahoma City Thunder before they got Kevin Durant. Or actually, you know what? That was the year that they lost. The year that they lost, they were also down 3-2. If Kyrie didn't shoot his way out of town or demand a trade, that would have been a better finals matchup last year. It just, you know, would have been, because Cleveland would have had more star power on their team. But I think people still want to watch, because I personally like to watch the best players in the world all on the court. And so
when I just don't like to see them all on the same team.
Well, you do. But again, there's usually room for more super teams. And Kawhi Leonard is one of the best players in the league. And so maybe some people think they have a fighting chance there. I certainly wouldn't put any money on the Raptors to do it. But don't you?
I wouldn't put Jason Rossi's money on the Raptors.
No,
to
you
win
wouldn't.
It.
Well, Rossi's thinking
you wouldn't
about
want
it.
My money?
Rossi's thinking
I said
about
I
it.
Wouldn't bet your money. That's
I know.
How
there's some big bucks over here.
But yeah. I think Golden State also is sort of a different part of this. They also are a fun team to watch. So even though they're dominating, and even though you're like, okay, obviously that's the obvious prediction that they're going to win, it's how they do it. Like, Curry and Thompson are unlike any other players in the league, and they just run up and down the court, shoot from anywhere, and it's fun. And it's not going to last forever. Kevin Durant's
just
a free
feels
agent.
That way.
Well, Durant's a free agent. He's going to leave, right? And so that's going to shake things up. Klay Thompson's a free agent. Now, I think he stays, but he's still a free agent.
And ultimately, I feel if Kevin Durant leaves, and I agree with you, he probably will, they're still going to be the best team in the NBA.
Yeah, but it'll be a lot closer, I think. I think it'll be a lot closer to everybody else. I mean, think about it.
Who's the next team? Who's like the next best team?
I can't give you one.
I mean,
that's how far ahead I think they are of everybody.
Where's Anthony Davis playing? Where's Durant playing? Where's Kyrie playing? There's like seven really good free agents this year, so there'll be another super team somewhere else.
Let's put Kyrie, just for fantasy purpose, let's put Kyrie and Kevin Durant on the Knicks. I know that's not likely.
Yeah.
Does that?
They don't have a chance against Golden State.
That's what. Is there a team?
Not a chance.
What if Anthony Davis? What if all three of them team up? Is that the only way, though?
Maybe. But I mean, they lost to LeBron and Kyrie, that team. They won 73 games in the regular season. It was Curry, it was Thompson, and it was Green. So there are teams that can compete with that, for sure. Plus, Andre Iguodala is going to be another year older. Like, I don't know how much time he has left. So, I mean, they'll be beatable, I think, next year, assuming Durant leaves. They'll still be the favorite, but I think that's good. I think you want that team. I think the NFL is happy that they have the Patriots. Everybody talks about the Patriots. You try to beat them, and then when you do, holy crap, that means so much more than if the Eagles won the Super Bowl against the Chiefs or Texans. You think people give a crap?
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. PJ Stock will join us at 11:30. Give us his takes on what he's seen in the first two games of the Stanley Cup Final. Can't wait to hear what Grapes has to say about all this.
Oh, boy.
Don Cherry is coming up. We'll hear from what he said last night as well. We'll get back to your calls. 617-779-7937. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.